I don't mean physically awake. This is the last service of our Awake series, Awake to Jesus. Have you been awoken up to Jesus? We've been praying that we would be woken up by the reality of who Jesus is and all that he's done for us. Are you awake to his love tonight? How passionately he loves you. We pray this service would be some of that message. Remind us or awaken us to how loved we are by Almighty God. Would you join me in a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this journey here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for creating us, for being a faithful God forever, and you cannot be less than faithful. That you are love, God, we thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for coming, being born, breaking into history. It's amazing, dear God. Almighty God and fully man at the same time. Lived a perfect life, walked to the cross purposefully and on purpose, willingly died in our place, and arose victorious. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, we praise you, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us into truth. Would you lead us tonight? And may all that goes on here awaken us to you, Jesus. Awaken us to your amazing love. Help us see you tonight, hear from you. Through all that goes on, may it be done to your glory and your honor. We pray in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. We're starting off with some special music.
Enter our beings grant us thy heavenly light.
Our theme throughout this Advent season is Awake to Jesus. As we take a historical journey into the writings of some of our favorite Christmas carols, our hope is to awaken ourselves to God's greatest redemptive gift, Jesus, and his love that compels us to go beyond ourselves. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us.
The first carol is Angels from the Realms of Glory. This hymn was written by James Montgomery, 1771 to 1854, who was born in Scotland of Irish parents. His father, John Montgomery, was a Moravian pastor, apparently the only Moravian pastor serving in Scotland at the time. Montgomery's parents felt a call to serve as missionaries on the island of Barbados, West Indies, in the Caribbean. When James was only 5 years old, his parents departed for the West Indies, leaving James with a Moravian group in Count Antrim, Ireland. His parents died in the West Indies a few years later, so James never saw them again. The Moravians made it possible for James to enter Full Neck Seminary in Yorkshire, but that turned out to be a bad fit. James had the soul of a poet, and poetry was banned at Full Neck. But in 1792, he began working for Joseph Gales, who published a local newspaper. Gales supported a number of radical causes, and in 1794 was forced to flee to Germany to avoid prosecution. Montgomery was able to gain control of the newspaper, and under his leadership, the paper continued its radical bent for more than three decades. As a young man, Montgomery drifted from the faith, but as he matured, he returned to the Moravian Church and became an advocate of the Christian missions. On Christmas Eve, 1816, Montgomery was reading the second chapter of Luke when these verses captured his attention.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Luke 2:13-14.
Montgomery was inspired to write this hymn, which he wrote quickly and printed in the Christmas Eve edition of his newspaper. Each verse of this hymn speaks to the Nativity from the perspective of a different group of people.
That carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and if you like a book, but it's too dark to read, it's at 290 if you can read Elmo style.
From the realms of glory, with your flag o'er all the earth, heralds of creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's word. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching by your flocks at night. God with us in his now residing, see their child, the infant child. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn.
Another song of invitation, O come all ye faithful. O come, let us adore him.
Come and behold
prophets foretold him the promise of God, the hope of salvation and light of the world. Born in a stable and born as a man, born to fulfill God's redeeming plan. Come, let us adore him, Jesus, the hope of the world. Come, worship before him, Christ the Messiah has come, salvation is hope of the world. Come worship before him, Christ the Messiah has come, salvation is born.
Today we light the candle that stands for love. We light the Christ candle to remember the infinite love which Jesus showed by taking on human flesh to become our Savior. This candle commemorates the love of the Lord Jesus for every individual. He gave up the glory of heaven to become a man that he might reveal God's divine nature to us. Just think of it. The creator of the universe took on the form of his creation so that he could identify with our need. And yet he lived a sinless life so that he, in his great love, could be our sinless substitute on Calvary. He conquered sin and death in his resurrection and made a way that we could enjoy him and his love forever. What wonderful love he has for us. Philippians 2, 5 to 11, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for visiting your people with salvation. We honor you for giving yourself to us, a humble servant and a faithful shepherd. We thank you for your incarnation, your complete identification with our need. Help us to grow in experiencing your love for us and to learn to love ourselves and others. May the delight we have today be centered upon you, whose name is above every name. We praise you. We love you. Amen.
through shadows dim, giving the light for those who love and go, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Of perfect day. Beautiful.
What child is this? In 1865, Englishman William Chatterton Dix wrote The Manger Throne, these verses, three verses of which became What Child Is This? In the era while Dix was writing hymns and raising a family, Christmas was not the celebration it is today. Neither was it a season where many openly celebrated the birth of Christ. Conservative Christian churches forbade gift-giving, decorating, or even acknowledging the day. These Puritan groups feared that if set aside as a special day, Christmas would become a day of pagan rituals more than a very serious time of worship. In this context, it was unusual for Dix to feel moved to write about Christ's birth, since many hymn writers of the period ignored Christmas altogether. The song's powerful words presented a unique view of the birth of Christ. While the baby was the focal point of the song, the viewpoint of the writer seemed to be that of an almost confused observer. Dix imagined visitors to the humble manger, wondering who the child was that lay before them. He wove a story of a child's birth, life, death, and resurrection, but in each verse it was answered with a triumphant declaration, the infant's divine nature. Dix published The Manger Throne in England just as the U.S. Civil War was ending. The song was quickly imported from Britain to the United States. Dix, who died in 1898, lived long enough to see The Manger Throne become the much-beloved Christmas carol, What Child Is This?
That carol, What Child Is This? What child is there who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ, the King whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Joy, joy, joy.
Can I have the anyone under age six and down? Come on and join me up front here for a moment. If you're age six or less, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll see how many of you are here. If you want a parent or somebody, pardon? Ed's right in front. Excellent. Good.
I'm six.
Right on. Perfect. Perfect age. Come on, sit on the steps with me here. Right on. Yeah, it's okay for moms and dads and others to come. Why do we give gifts at Christmas time? Yeah.
So that people remember Jesus.
To help people remember Jesus. That's great. As we give them a gift, they should remember the greatest gift, right? They remember Jesus. How about other reasons that we give? There's lots of reasons we give gifts, right? Yeah. To make somebody happy, yeah. Let them know they're loved and cared for, right? Hey, bud. Hey, still got some more. Why else do we give gifts? Can you think of one that you're giving this year? Don't say what it is. We don't want to wreck tomorrow morning surprise. Why else do we give gifts?
My brother's not here.
Your brother's not here. But he was born, and he's a gift to somebody. Yeah, well, I think those are great reasons, right? We really do. We want to remember Jesus. In the middle of it all, it's not about the gifts. It's about remembering Jesus. But gifts can be a great way of letting people know that they are loved. And that's why God came, because He is love. So, can you guys open this gift for me?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you guys work together and open the gift? We'll see what's in there. Might want to wait around here. There we go. Look at that. Uh-oh. Perfect. Look at that. Good paper rippers. Awesome. Eggo waffle box. But it's Christmas, right? You're supposed to disguise gifts at Christmas. That's the big fun. I love disguising gifts at Christmas so that we can't guess them so easily. So let's see what's in this box. What do you think it is? You think it's a
waffles.
You think it's a waffle?
Yeah. I think it's...
Do you think it's a pterodactyl?
Yes.
Yeah, a dinosaur?
Uh-huh.
What's a dinosaur got to do with Christmas,
Daddy,
hey?
Beans.
Well, you know what? There is. Can you take one of those
can
and take it back to your seat? Can you guys each take one of those? There is.
Can I take one for my
glasses? No. Don't worry. Everybody else will get one. Just take one. Just take one. You're welcome. Okay, these ones are mint. And those are cinnamon. The red ones are cinnamon. Just take one, okay? Everybody got one?
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? And now, look at, somebody was thinking they're wrapped in our little trays for taking offering. We're not taking an offering. We're giving one tonight. We wanted to give everybody here something. I'll explain why later. There you go. Okay, then a little. So even coming up there, these guys are going to hand them out. And so take one. Yeah, the red ones are cinnamon. Green ones are mint, and the multicolored are kind of like a candy cane. A wee little gift for everyone here tonight. We love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. His incredible love breaks into history. And the more we experience that love, the perfect love of the Father, we are able to love one another and others. He initiated it. And we get to love one another. And through gifts, that's one way we extend our love. We show our love. And God is love, Scripture says. They're synonymous. God is love. And love came down. We celebrate that at this time of year. Love came down and was born a baby. Love is a gift which needs to be accepted and adored, embraced, grown, and reciprocated in. You have a growing understanding of God's love, of His love for you specifically. An understanding that if you are the only person on the planet who needed saving, He would have come down. His passionate love for us. Love is a gift. He is to be shared. Do you have a growing understanding of God's love for all people? How are we doing at sharing that love with others? Not with just those who are easy to love, but with all people. Christmas is really a story of the whole person and work of Jesus. Right from creation, and as we show on the screen, right from nativity, through His perfect sinless life, all that He did, right to the cross and His resurrection, His ascension, love descended for us. Right? He has the glory of heaven and He descends. He sets that aside. He leaves all of that and He's born the humility, humbleness of a stable, of a manger. Love descended for us. In a manger on that incredible night, more than 2,000 years ago, love was born. No one dared to think on this night, the entire course of human history would change. It was an extravagant gesture of love as the King laid down His crown, surrendered it for human flesh, and stilled the longing of human hearts. Into the world was born this special baby who was promised long ago as the only answer to the sin that had happened back in Eden. Jesus, the messianic king, was wrapped in a makeshift assortment of cloths, sleeping, crying, cooing, and Mary held love tightly in her arms. At the invitation of the angels, the shepherds left their fields and came to worship God, God's love gift to humanity. The prophetic word from Isaiah of a shepherd king who would gather the lambs in his arms and carry them close to his heart, Isaiah 40:11, if you want to look it up, was now being fulfilled as love was personified in the baby Jesus. Introduced into the world, into a world who knew him not, the Son of God came near, vulnerable, glorious, and humble. Love was born to us. Love descended for us. Love grew and touched all who could be touched. Love not only descended for us, love lived for us. As Jesus walked around the planet, love forgave those who could not be forgiven, either by themselves or others. He forgave. Love listened to those who had no one else to listen to them. He came close to lepers, the untouchable people, and love touched them. Love prayed for those who lashed out in hatred and anger. Love gave life to those who were caught in the grasp of death. Love lived a perfect, sinless life. Love lived not for himself, but for the Father and for us. For you, he lived. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am, Jesus says. If then, your Lord and teacher, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Love descended for us. Love lived for us. Love died for us. He followed through purposefully. The life that Jesus lived qualified him for the death he died. The death he died qualifies you and me to receive the life that he lived. We can have eternal, abundant life only in Jesus Christ. So we understand his incredible love for us. He descended for us. He lived for us. He died for us. And it's not done yet. He's still doing amazing things. Love arose for us. Usually we celebrate this as Easter. Christ is risen. Absolutely. He's risen. Hallelujah. He's risen. We serve a risen Savior. Other religious leaders, they're dead and buried still. But Jesus demonstrated that he's fully God and fully man, the only acceptable sacrifice. He arose for us. Love ascended for us. He returned to the Father. He arose, ascended for us. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as he goes, he sends. Well, as he goes, and then love prays for us. Isn't that amazing? Think of Jesus praying for you specifically, that you would understand his incredible love for you. May we have an awakening this year, throughout this year, of Jesus' passionate, compassionate love for us. Love prays for us, and love is returning for us. Amen? This isn't all there is. this is all temporary. He's returning to set things really right again. I mean, he's putting things right constantly and in our own lives if we know him. But he's going to set it really right. He's returning. And love is for us. I know in our day and age, a lot of people say God is against us and he's a hard, cruel God, and it's a horrible misunderstanding. God is love. And he's for us. He's for us succeeding. He's for us really taking hold of life. The Advent story is a story of love. Of God's unconditional, unchanging, unrelenting love. Does it touch you just a little bit more tonight? How passionate he loves you. This Advent season, let us be awakened to the mystery of God's incarnational love expressed personally through Jesus of Nazareth. For it is through this love that the deepest craving of every human heart is exclusively fulfilled. I want to read a poem that I found. It's by Marv and Marbeth Rosenthal. Should point on the screen there. You can follow along. Mary had a little lamb who lived before his birth. Self-existent Son of God, from heaven he came to earth. Mary had a little lamb, see him in yonder stall. Virgin born Son of God, to save mankind from the fall. Mary had a little lamb, obedient Son of God. Everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. Mary had a little lamb crucified on the tree. The rejected Son of God, he died to set humans free. Mary had the little lamb. Men placed him in the grave, thinking they were done with him, but to death he was no slave. Mary had the little lamb, ascended now as he. His work on earth ended, our advocate to be. Mary had the little lamb, mystery to behold. From the lamb of Calvary a lion will unfold. When the little lamb comes again, of this be very sure, it won't be lamb-like silence, but with a lion's roar. This is the God we worship and serve, and this is love incarnate. Love came down. Love is a gift. It needs to be open, like the children opened this one. Is still sucking on that candy that we handed out. May we be awakened to the love of God this year. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Scripture says. Experience him for ourselves. The love of God. It's a gift to be opened, to be accepted. He's a person to be adored and embraced and grow in that love. And learn to reciprocate. We love because he first loved us. You have a growing understanding of God's love for you. And you have a growing love for God. Love is a gift. He is to be shared. Do you have a growing understanding of God's love for all people? I want to close with this story before we have our final couple songs. I remember when Beverly and I were first married, 22 years ago now. We moved back to Alberta from Ontario, or I moved back, Beverly moved to Ontario, or to Alberta, I mean, from Ontario. And we were having Christmas in our tiny little home, one-bedroom place, all of my immediate family, and my uncle was there. And we opened it up for a sharing time. We said, what has God taught us this year? And some stories of love, of experiencing his love, of love working through us, his love to others. My uncle's sitting there watching and listening to this stuff go on. And it was powerful. Because I talked to my uncle afterwards. He's got 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. My parents have 2 boys, 2 girls. And he just weeping describes his own family as his own marriage broke down, came to a point of divorce. His wife, Near as we can tell, it wasn't diagnosed, but seems to have killed herself of bitterness. His kids, I don't know if I would recognize my own cousins because they are so impacted by drugs and alcohol and all sorts of other stuff. And as he watched his family fall apart, and my dad and my uncle grew up together and we were good friends, all of us down in Calgary, but somebody had encountered the love of God and introduced my family to the love of God. And he watched my family transition in the other way, increasing hope and joy and the love and the peace of God. And we're all married to believers and we're all serving in his church and growing in our love and experience of him. And it was just such a clear contrast of life with God and life without God. Life with love and understanding and growing in it, and life without love. You have a growing understanding tonight of God's compassionate love for you and his love for others. Let's not keep this amazing love story to ourselves, but let's find ways to share it throughout this year for his glory and for his sake and for the kingdom. Amen. Let's celebrate. Last couple songs.
Second guess what?
such a strange way to save the world. Oh, oh, oh. And now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. Such a strange way, such a strange way, such a strange way to save the world.
Joy to the World. Born in 1674, Isaac Watts is commonly referred to as the father of hymns because he wrote close to 750 songs. Isaac was a young man when hymns other than the Psalms were allowed to be sung in the Church of England. Watts developed many beloved songs on the Psalms, but he was especially interested in writing hymns based on the Christian experience. Joy to the World was written in 1719 and based on Psalm 98, verses 4 to 9.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and with the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. Sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
If you notice the lyrics of the song Joy to the World, you will see nothing about shepherds, a manger, wise men, angels, or any other character or element that we normally associate with the Christmas story. The reason being that Isaac Watts did not write Joy to the World to be a Christmas song. The original theme of this song was the second coming of the Lord. As you hear and sing this beloved carol, think about the words. Yes, they apply to the Christmas story in that the Lord is come. We should rejoice. But let the lyrics all point you to the reason Jesus came, to save the world. Be ready, because he is coming again. What a glorious day that will be, when the whole earth celebrates his appearing.
Let's stand together as we sing that carol. Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room.
Joy to the world, and joy came to my family when we understood that love came down. Love came to us. Love came to my uncle as well. He received Jesus when he was 65 years old. What a cool transformation of life when you see a 65-year-old man surrender to Jesus. May we experience the love of God. Would you join me in a closing prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for awakening us to yourself. You are love. You loved us so passionately. You came, and you're coming again. Lord, we bow before you. I pray for anyone here tonight that doesn't know you yet, Jesus, you would reveal yourself to them in a way they can understand and respond to you and experience your love. Experience you up close and personal. And send us out from this place to celebrate you, Jesus. Celebrate together and celebrate in ways that overflow to a watching world and to many other people. We long to see your love awakened in many. You came to seek and to save the lost. We want to be a part of that, Jesus. We go celebrating. Celebrating you. And sharing in the most incredible gift, you, Jesus. We pray in your powerful name. Amen. Have a very merry Christmas.